Right, so I want to start really just to go through the Galatians scripture that we've had the last couple of weeks, obviously where the fruit comes from, this fruit of the Spirit. So it's from Galatians 5, verses 22 to 25. And I've got hopefully got it up on the screen if it works, if I turn that on. There we go. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such, there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. And if we live in the Spirit, then let us also walk in the Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just pray that you'll just help us to understand these scriptures. Lord, that you'll just speak to us in a mighty way, that you'll just open our ears, open our hearts, and allow us to take on board what your word has to say to us tonight, Lord, about your peace. Father, we just thank you for that. We thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord, that we can all have something that we can use this week from your scripture to remind us of how you want us how you want us to be and how you want us to have peace in you, Lord. Father, we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So I thought, we can fully appreciate the power and the demonstration of God's peace, that we will just sit here in silence for the next half an hour until we can really absorb it in. So I thought we'd do that. No? Okay, fine. So I had an old memory that sort of came back to me from when I was young a few years ago. My dad and my sister, me and my sister and I were asking my dad what he wanted for either Christmas or birthday. I can't remember which one it was, and what he would like as a present. And I think on more than one occasion, he had said peace and quiet. Actually, I think he still does. And my sister wrapped up a small empty matchbox case as a present with the words peace and quiet written in on the bottom of it. It made us giggle. And to be honest, I don't think it worked. He did try and open it a few times. But I never understood as a child why anyone would want peace and quiet. But now I'm the age I am, I kind of like it myself. And to be in a place of solitude without a brain full of things that need doing and going on in your brain is actually a really wonderful thing. It doesn't seem to happen very often. So I don't know if I actually did. Definition of, just to say the definition of peace. This is the dictionary definition of peace: freedom from disturbance, tranquility in a state or period in which there is no war, or a war has ended. And we shouldn't be quick to dismiss the worldly definition of peace. It's very true and very important as well, and it's a great thing to have. But the peace of God is so much more. It's not just a physical peace, but it's a spiritual peace. It can't be earned, it can't be paid for, and it's a gift from the Most High. If we look at the biblical outline of what the actual Bible says, it seems to go on, obviously, speak of a lot more, but it's a state of national tranquility, exemption from the rage and havoc of war, like was just said, peace between individuals, harmony, concord, security, safety, prosperity, felicity. Because peace and harmony make things keep things safe and prosperous. And of the Messiah's peace, and the way that leads to peace is salvation. It's when we through salvation is when we gain this peace and we can have this peace. And of Christianity, it says the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and content with its earthly lot, whatever sort it is. The blessed state of a devout and upright man after death, of upright men after death. To just go back to what I said there, of Christianity, a tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is. Now, it's this being content with what we've got and fearing nothing, knowing that we have God on our side. A much more elaborate way of explaining peace, and so much more than our sort of English dictionaries seem to do. Like I say, it can't be earned or paid for. It's a gift. And as we've already said, the fruit of the Spirit is a mixture of things given when one has given his life to the Lord, his or her life to the Lord, and have been blessed with the Spirit of God. There's more parts to see in the weeks to come, but just the first, which was love, which Matt obviously shared with us, encompasses all the others, love, joy, peace. But today, and obviously Sim giving us the fruit part of joy, and today we're obviously talking about peace. And it's a great start, even though there's so many good ones that sort of come along in future weeks, just to have those, joy and peace, I think would be even a blessing on its own. But God blesses us with so much more, and we'll obviously come to some other ones in the weeks to come. So long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. This is a perfect gift for the Christian walk and lifestyle that is offered when one is saved by grace. And as Matt read from us earlier from the Philippians, I always say Philippians for some reason. I'll get it right one day. Philippians 4, verses 4 up to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. And the peace of God. The Bible describes this sort of three aspects of peace that relate to God. Obviously, the first one, the peace comes from God, and then it's a gift of God, like we've already said. The second one, it describes this relationship that we enter into with God through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And it's beyond all understanding. That is beyond all power of thinking. It surpasses all understanding. It is beyond our ability to understand and explain. Therefore, it must be experienced. That doesn't mean we can't talk about it, we can't see in the word of how it works, but to truly understand it, to truly see how God uses it is how he does it, how we experience it. To be peace with God. We read John 14, verses 26 to 27, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The world can't give you peace. And like joy and love, which has already been talked about, we can look for it in the wrong places. We can have a heavy heart and be with wrong company and trying to change the course of our lives in search for a peaceful outcome where the world seems more distant with its hostility and violence, and arguments and ugliness. And it can be quite draining to watch the world we live in destroy itself. But God's peace is all beyond that. In faith, we believe God's promise of it as the promise of the Spirit which dwells in his people. And in that, he takes a troubled, afraid heart, comforts it and gives it peace. God's peace comes when we draw near to him and spend time with him. And we see that in James 4. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So when we hand over the keys of our life to God, he then lifts us up. When we stop trying to do things on our own, when we stop trying to find things from earthly sources, and then start to rely on him, spend time with him, draw near to him, he then can lift us up and he gives us peace. in Hebrews 10, we see, hold fast your confession, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. My screen's covering what I actually need to see, which isn't helpful. And our bodies washed with pure water. This peace, God reaches out to us through the veil that was ripped from top to bottom by his actions. So we can enter into the holiest of holies and live in peace. Without that happening, we'd still be alone and struggling, you know, without that direct comfort of peace that we can get from the Lord. There's this separation, and Jesus has reached through and allowed us to have this peace, this fruit. And it's a wonderful thing, and it's scary to think that how people who haven't got God don't actually have that ability. They don't have this peace. I know God can work in miraculous ways with everybody, but this peace that we're talking about comes to us through the Holy Spirit when you are saved. And it's just quite a frightening world to live in. And it should be that a draw from people to want to know the Lord, to gain that peace. It's certainly something that should try to be displayed in our lives so people can see it, that contentment and that peace of life, knowing that God's in control. And certainly attitudes can destroy the peace of God. When we trust with the assumption that God will give us whatever we want, we ourselves are up for disappointment. And the Bible is filled with examples of that, where God works and people have been disappointed. And we see that a lot in David's life, in Psalms 10. Okay, let's try that one. Now the screen's not changing. Sorry. There we go. Move the cursor. A song of confidence in God's triumph over evil. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? So, you know, why do you stand off? David was sort of asking the Lord, why do you stand off when I'm in trouble? Why you seem so far away from me? Trust means we have set our hearts to believe God, whatever may happen. When we insist on being in control, we sabotage God's desire to let us live in peace. When we choose worry rather than faith, we cannot live in peace. Jesus warned us often about fear and worry in many places through the Bible, Matthew, Luke, Philippians. Worry is the enemy of peace, and God invites us to cast our cares upon him and then let go of them. We see that in 1 Peter. So worry and fear is the enemy of peace. Friday night youth club, I talked about when Peter was coming out of the boat onto the water to come to Jesus, who was coming across the water. And Peter came to the Lord when he got frightened. He saw what was happening around him. He begins to sink. He took his eyes off Jesus and looked on the problems surrounding him. Jesus takes him by the hand and they get onto the boat, and Jesus then calms the storm. Peter's problems were very real. He's standing in crashing waves in the middle of the sea in a storm. You could forgive him for being distracted from Jesus. You want the fruit of God, you need to set your eyes on him and don't look down at your circumstances. He's got you. I know it's very easy to say that and then do when you're going through troubles in your life, and they can look like a storm around you. They can be very frightening, and it can make you think how on earth you can get out of that situation, or that situation can change and get better. That's no different to what Peter was going through. Peter was standing on water, and you know, we talked about how he took that first step into the water. Can you imagine doing that, standing off something solid, having enough faith, see Jesus step over that first leg into the water, and then bring the other leg over to stand on the water and start walking towards him, which is what he did. But to be standing on these rocking waves, crashing waves, the wind blowing, the storm blowing, it's so much easier. And you could understand just to see and look at those things rather than looking at Jesus. But that's what he's saying to do. Saying, you know, draw near to me, keep your eyes on me, and whatever you're going through, I'm there with you. You know, you can stand supernaturally on all them problems that you've got because he's with you. It's comforting to know. Very hard to do, but comforting to know. I want to quickly read from Ephesians 3. Still put it in the wrong place. There we go. Let's get rid of that. There we go. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Why do I struggle so much? Why do I struggle so when I read scriptures like that? I take my eyes off his, and so often I forget the strength that I should have in him. I get used to living in the storm, and that becomes the new normal. Now, just read that again, you know, his riches and glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit. The spirit that he's placed inside us gives us that strength, gives us strength that it's that inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love and be able to comprehend with all the saints what's the width, the length, the depth, and the height. All of that information, you know, all of the that knowledge, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. It's like this peace that we have that we can't understand. There's a knowledge there that we can't as well. It's just too great. It's not for us to understand. It's for us to have faith and to know that God's capable. 2 Peter. Now we see Simon Peter, a bondservant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by righteousness of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who is called us by glory and virtue, for which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Just to go back there, just to read that, you know, through precious faith by us, the righteousness of God and Saviour, to be multiplied. And just going down there, it says, you know, we have this precious peace that we can gain through knowing that God's got this sorted through the knowledge of him. Precious promises. And we can go through a list of those throughout the Bible of the things he's done for us. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. For our knowing of him, our reading of him, our spending time of him, our praying to him, us praising him, as we come to know him. When we develop a lifestyle of making the Lord our refuge, we begin to live in the peace of God. Psalm 62, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Salah. Now, trust in him at all times. Psalm 91 holds the secret to living in a peace with God. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I shall say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. And that secret place in our heart is where we go to meet with God. When we choose to live there and hide away under his shadow, staying in constant communion with him, we can remain peaceful, even when circumstances may not be. When we learn to cry out to him in times of trouble, we find that his peace really does pass all human understanding. Early on, we read Philippians 1 to 7. I just want to read the last two verses of that, verses 8 and 9. Sorry, I've missed a few of those. Sorry, I'm pushing them away. That's why. Dear, oh dear. Oh, wait, I've not put that one on. Let me read it. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which we have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. I just want to repeat that. So finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Those things that we read through his word, through the scriptures, of all the things that he's done, all the things where he's taken care of people, all the things that when he's healed, or when he's cast out demons, and when he's just shown love to the children or shown love to the lost sheep. We see those things and what we learn from them. Our lifestyle should be around those and be following those things. We should learn, you know, we shall hear and then change those things into actions. And our lifestyle and our peace that we can have with the Lord through reading those scriptures. God is capable, and this world is so noisy with the things going on that you might almost think it's absolutely impossible to actually have peace. You know, if there's nothing going on in the street and there's something going on the TV or something going on the radio, or there's something going on with work, or there's something going on with family, or there's something going on with your friends, there's something, you know, always there and always going on. So we need to have these places where we can go to spend time with the Lord. All those things are out of our control. All of those things will carry on going. We can't change that. What we can do is be at peace, because God can give us that peace for those situations. We need reminding. I mean, I know I do. I need reminding every day of that thing, you know, all the stuff that's going on. The work on its own is just enough to consume you and take over your thought life without everything else. And for the younger ones, you know, for school and for uni, there's so much there that's just constantly ongoing and needs to be ticked off and done. But God says, he promises and he gives us peace. Can't understand how he does it, He doesn't need us to know and understand how he does it. All we need to know is to us to accept that he can do it. And that's what he does. We have a great God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you just open our eyes and open our ears. Lord, wherever we are, whether we've been distant from you or we've not been spending time with you or we've been close to you all week, Father, I pray that you'll just minister to us, Lord. Remind us of times past where you've been there and you've given us peace, where you've calmed us down through the warring world that's going on in front of us and just stopped us there and then and just given us that wonderful feeling of you've got it under control through all this mess. And Father, we're sorry that sometimes we let it get down to desperate means when we're at our furthest, hardest point in our lives. That's when you can reach us and lift us up. That's the time, Lord, that we can see that we can't do it in our strength anymore and we start to rely on you. Father, I pray that you'll give us all individually your peace, Lord. Help us to know that we have a Father, Lord, that just remind us, Father, you got your hand in our hand. As a father with a child, Lord, you're there and you've got us by the hand. Doesn't matter how old you are. The Lord has got us by the hand and he's leading us, Father. Thank you, Lord, for leading us. Thank you, Lord, for planning ahead all the things that this world's got to go through before times when we can be with you again. But just, Lord, remind us of the power that dwells in us. Remind us of your spirit in our lives for everything that we do, everything that we come across. Lord, remind us of those things. The ones that we've heard so far, Lord, through love, through joy, through peace. Lord, help them to just dwell in us, Lord, in our hearts. Help that to be powerful in our lives at this moment. Lord, let us long to hear about the next one next week. Father, we pray that you will help us to be a healthy part, a healthy plant, a healthy tree, Lord, attached to your vine. Help us to be fertile. Help us to grow lots of good fruit that we can grow in you, Lord, and that we can share with other people, Lord, that peace that you've given to us. We just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.